Brian. How we doing, church? Doing good? Good to see you all this morning. Man, this, for some of you parents, it's the eve before the big day tomorrow. I got the email from the district saying back to school. And so for me, it's kind of a sad day. My baby is starting kindergarten. And so yeah, kind of like this emotional time. And I was sharing this with the staff, and Pastor Brian, who was just up here, he was sharing, he goes, yeah, it's different. You know, kindergarten, it's like all the parents are looking at the kids and just missing their kids. And so he sends me this meme that I thought was great. Kindergarten parents on the first day of school, sixth grade parents on the first day of school, peeling out, getting out of here. I'm like, yeah, that'll probably be me in a few years. And so, but then, you know, we have students here, college students, we've got high school students, middle school, and all of us, and sometimes we've talked about parents, two types of parents. Some of us are like, get to school, like, I need my freedom, and I want back to my schedule. There's two types of students as well, and we could show this picture right here. This little girl's dressed up, she's ready to go. There's another student in there, do you see him? He's got the backpack on in the corner. That was me. That was the kid crying, I don't want to go to school. So we realize it's back to school and how we're approaching it. So we've got students, parents, and we're just hoping for a good fall season that we can get into things and begin just even in church. It's back to church. And I hope you guys are ready, like the little girl with the backpacks and she's got a fresh fit on and she's ready to go. Like, I know some of us in high school, we've done that. I saw another one this week. I won't show it, but this kid's sleeping next to in his bed. He's got his like outfit perfectly laid out, shoes, hat, everything for the first day of school. So my hope is we get ready to go. Like, exciting fall. We're excited to hear from God's word. Let's go right into it this morning. Acts 15. And I'm going to tell a little bit of the story, and then we'll land on a verse. So let me set the backdrop of what we're doing. And we're in the New Testament here in Acts, and we'll have it up on the screen for you. And if you don't have a Bible, in the pews, we've got our big blues in the pews. You can grab one of those. Take that home. If you don't have a Bible, that's our gift to you. So take it, read it. And Acts 15. So what's going on here at the beginning, this is where we're picking up in the story. Jesus comes on this earth in his ministry. He lives, he dies, and rises again, and then returns to heaven. He's up in heaven. And where we're picking up all the disciples, it's Acts. The reason it's called Acts, it's Acts of the Apostles. It's the things they were doing. And so we get to hear about their ministries and all of the ways we talked about a couple weeks ago in Acts 2 with the way they're sharing and people are coming to know God. So what's going on here is this is the Council of Jerusalem. And the setting is around, historians believe, around 48 to 50 AD. So we're in 48, 50 AD, and they're gathering for this council at Jerusalem. And why are they gathering? Because what it says in the scriptures, that they actually sharply debate. They're arguing over some things. And what would they be arguing about? And these are Christians that have a council. And there's something so severe that the scriptures say that Paul is passionate about this, and he's fighting for this. So what are they talking about? And as what you can read continuing on in Acts 15 is there's these two groups, and there's a religious group called the Pharisees, and what they're doing, they're saying that these Gentiles, and who are Gentiles? Gentiles are anybody that is not a Jew. So you have Jews in Judaism. So a Gentile would be anybody else that is not a Jew. And so the Gentiles are coming to faith. And what's happening is this group, the Pharisees, are saying, okay, you can come to faith, but you have to practice the Mosaic law. And the Mosaic law says that men would have to get circumcised after they came to faith. And so this was difficult for a grown man now to have to get circumcised. That's not this sermon, so don't worry, all right? We're not going there this morning. That's next week. I'm just kidding. I show up and like one person's here next week. I'm like, darn. But here's where we're going, is that they're fighting over something. And Paul and Barnabas begin to explain, and they're sharing something that they're passionate about. And what they're fighting for is saying, no, 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 no. It's not that you believe in Jesus and then you need to add something else. How they came to faith, and Peter shares in here, Peter's sharing how he has given this message to the Gentiles, and Peter and Paul, they're all reminding these Pharisees, the group, hey, we came to share a message. And that message is not just for us, and we're not to look down on other cultures, but we are to share the good news with everyone, and we are not supposed to make it difficult for those who are turning, those that are coming to God. And so we need to fight for this, and we need to stand up. And so this is how James reads, he finishes the statement. So they're all there, and some have called it the four pillars, and they're here. Acts 15, after all of this, they're making all these statements and their cases, and then James concludes with this, verse 19. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. If you have your Bible, circle we. Circle we, underline that, put that in your notes, that it's we. And where we want to go this morning, if you're taking notes in the first blank, we are Wilshire. We are Wilshire Avenue. This is something that the disciples, the apostles, they owned. They said, we shouldn't make it difficult for the Gentiles to come. Because the Gentiles, the Pharisees are saying, no, you have to do this, this, and this. And what James is saying, no, we need to open up the gates. We need to say, we need to remove these barriers for people that are already turning to God. And so what we want to talk about first is that we are the church. We are Wilshire Avenue. 2 weeks ago, or last week, we talked about 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors, representatives of Jesus. And so if we are representatives of Jesus, as Paul like implores us to go out and on Christ's behalf, that we would represent Jesus and show the city, show our community, show each other God's love. But we are not only, we would even take that step further, we're not only representatives of Jesus, we are representatives of the church. And where we get some of that, if you want to do some other homework, Ephesians 5. Paul talks about that the church and Christ, he says it's this mystery because we're not perfect. The church, we're not perfect. Your pastor's not perfect. But God came, he died, he sent his son to die for the church, to rescue the church so that the two could become one. And so the church is unified with Christ. And the church, we stand united by, as Ephesians talks about, by the blood of Christ. And so as we're united, that we are Wilshire Avenue. We are representatives, we are ambassadors of Jesus, but we're also ambassadors of the church. So what does this look like? Let's break that down. How we are seen in the community. The church is not simply just a building. Where we gather is not the church. The church is the body that comes together, the people that come together. And why we gather together, we encourage each other. We want to motivate each other. We want to remind each other of God's love and then go out into the city and share love. Now, let me share a common distinction that even in there where it can slightly get twisted. And I have to give credit for it to Andy Stanley. So much of this thinking, he has enlightened me in a lot of this, and I'll share a story about him in a moment. But that we would, you've all seen this in churches. For example, you leave in a church, and we talked about this as a staff. We wrote it up this week, and we said, what's wrong with this picture? You've maybe been to a church, and it says, as you leave, and it says, you are now entering the mission field. Go. Send. Go, as we just talked about, it's a good thing. The ambassadors of Christ, go love other people. But what's wrong with that is it assumes the mission field is only out there. And the mission field, we have to realize, is here. Now, if you're a guest this morning, we are so glad you're here. In some ways, this will be a little bit of family talk. And as we're talking about, we are Wilshire. So if you're like, I'm new here, man, I'm not Wilshire. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're a part of things. And what better Sunday to come, because you'll get to see, as we're having a little bit of family talk, you get to see what we're about as the church and why we gather and why we meet and why we want to serve each other and why we want to sacrifice. So you'll get to see that here this morning. And speaking of guests, if we are called, so if it's we are the church, are responsible, right there in 19, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. So if we are Wilshire Avenue, let's think about avenues. That beautiful boulevard is, Brandon with our graphics has the palm trees coming down Wilshire. I love that scene. If you're driving in from Harbor, I love coming in that drive in the morning and just seeing just our beautiful community, our city. And as a reminder of that, what do people see when they experience our church? When guests come. And now, how do we define guests? Guests are anybody, whether it's visitors or believers or those that are agnostic, atheists, or you're just here because a friend bribed you with lunch. We're glad you're here for that. Get your free meal. Whoever our guests are, that we want to make easy, open, we want open avenues. So if you're taking notes there, we want open avenues for those to hear about Jesus. Open avenues. So we want to figure out, what are the ways, what are the barriers? Because church, and a guest could probably say amen, church can sometimes get weird sometimes. And it shouldn't, because the gospel, Jesus is so beautiful. And that's why we preach out of the Bible here. We want to preach about Jesus, because there's nothing more beautiful in this world than God and his love for us and how God invites us into a relationship with him. That's what we want to continue to preach. But there's things about church can be weird. Think about it in your house. Everyone has, sometimes for years, you can have an ugly couch. You know, something you don't notice because you get accustomed to it. But guests, when they come in and be like, oh man, that's an ugly couch. Right? When you're used to something, you've always been here, you can start to get numb. But think about this. When does your house look the very best? Your own home. When does it look the best? When you have guests. Right? If we are always expecting guests, if we are always entertaining guests, we want to realize, we want to have our house in order. We want to, the way things visually appear, and so that's why we want to continue to advance and enhance things. And some of the ideas, the coffee bar, and taking care more of the coffee bars just to keep you all awake. I mean, preacher's boring, right? So we have to inject coffee. But that is an idea that came out of, hey, people are running and going and get their coffee. Why don't we serve coffee here and love people here? Ideas like that have come out, realizing there's guests here and we want to treat our guests well. Why? Because there are people that are turning to God and we want to usher them to him. Now, let me define this. Because some of you in that might have grown up in church might become uncomfortable when we say, let's open up avenues. We want to make it as easy as possible for people to hear about Jesus. Some of you might grow uncomfortable and say, well, didn't Jesus say, wide is the path of destruction, narrow is where God calls us to follow? And that's true, because all religions don't lead to the same path. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And so nobody can come to God other than through Jesus. And so this is why at church, we want to say, we want to, as kindly as possible, as gently as possible, but also as urgently, to share what Jesus has done in our lives and why we believe that you should follow Jesus. We want to kindly convince people, lovingly convince people, and share that following Jesus is the way, that there isn't another way. And now we have to be respectful, and we'll get to that in a moment. But the way we do this is by loving people and treating everyone as guests. And the way we do that is, well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how do we love people? How do we take care of them? How do they feel when they show up on Sunday morning? So if we have guests here, how do they feel? Are they being loved and treated with kindness? Are they greeted well? How do things look as we talk about things look? Are we representing the kingdom? Are we showing that God's kingdom, there's diversity in the kingdom? I mean, if you've been paying attention in the news at Charlottesville, a terrible, terrible act that happened. There's protests going on. If you haven't been paying attention on the news, where the protests going on that just have no place in this world. And in fact, there's no place in Christianity for those that say one race is superior than another. Genesis 1:27 that says that we are all created in the image of God. And so anybody that says, well, this race is better than this race, there is no place for that in the kingdom. And in fact, it diametrically opposes the good news of the gospel. Because the gospel says that all, so there's this fact that Jesus says, I am the only way, but Jesus also opens up, he says, this message is for everyone. Jesus came to rescue the world, to save the world, not a select few. Not just those that act a certain way, believe a certain way. And so what we want to represent here at church, that we want to represent the beautiful kingdom, all different races, ethnicity, age groups, socioeconomic classes. We want to represent it all. And so that's why we need people serving that represent all sorts of those different backgrounds. We need you. We need your help. We need different languages being spoken. Would you, maybe God has given you gifts to communicate or to listen to others with different viewpoints. We need you. Because we, the church, cannot let anybody come in our presence that doesn't feel loved. That there's too much hate out in the world for us to be a place here where somebody comes in and doesn't feel loved. Jesus in John 13:35 says this, this is how you will know, this is again family talk, that you are my disciples, you are my followers, by the way you love each other. So how do we love each other? I encourage you, as maybe I'm talking, we've got this, pull out your notes. We've got the We Are Wilshire Avenue. And here is your name, your phone number, email. And maybe God's putting on your heart a way that he's calling you to serve. And so this historically has been our rally Sunday, the Sunday where we're getting ready for school and we want to come together. How can we love our guests well? How can we take care of the people because we want them to know about Jesus? And so I encourage you to look at this because how do you speak the love language of people? It's for parents, loving their kids. What better way to speak the love language of parents? Love their kids. That's from the little ones all the way to high school, to serve in the ministry. We've got seniors in our community. And some of them with the health, and it just becomes difficult to drive. So maybe you can drive and maybe finding out, hey, I'd be willing to pick somebody up on the way to church. Bridging ages. You know, imagine a young college student picking up a senior and just having conversations, learning from each other. Or in students, we have college students and high school students, just listening to them, take them out for a meal, treat them. You know, ways that we can love each other and serve each other in our community. I encourage you to find ways to do that. And maybe it's a way of simply serving. And maybe it's the coffee bar. Maybe it's greeting. Maybe it's ushering. Letting people know that God loves them. Now here, if you're a guest this morning, you're saying, well, this is what I'm afraid of. The church is always designed. It's an institution that's just trying to convince me that Jesus is the way and really always should be the way. Yet, I would argue this, that in many ways, all religions simply aren't the same. And you look at it, you really study, if you study Buddhism, that God isn't a personal God. And then you begin to look at Islam, Judaism, Christianity, where you worship a personal God, but then within the three of those, very different. If we as Christians believe that Jesus is God, then there's those who are Jews or Muslim will say, that's very different than what we believe. For as Christians, if Jesus isn't God, we have a problem. It's very different. We end up on a very different path. Now, some people might say, well, I believe that every every religion has a peace right. And I believe that there's an all-knowing God, and he doesn't reveal himself through a specific religion, and he doesn't judge us. And you can go on and say, well, he doesn't have the set of religion, and religion's just doctrine that we should obey and believe. And it's the way people try and force their viewpoints on us. Yet those three things are actually doctrine in themselves. Those are actually a belief system. You are believing that God is not going to judge you at the end of the day. When your time comes, that God won't judge you. So in fact, you are taking a step of faith saying, I believe God is loving and he's not going to judge anybody. That's a step of faith. We are all people of faith. And so what we want to do at Wilshire Avenue is realize that people in our community come from different viewpoints. And the way we are going to love them and show them Jesus isn't by simply beating them over the head, that we're not bashing them with the Bible. We will preach from the Bible. We will not shy away from the Bible. Yet, how the scripture says, how people come to know God, how people repent to turn away, is how? By God's kindness, by his goodness. So do our guests feel loved, whether they completely of their belief system is in the exact opposite of the way of following Jesus, how do we treat them? Do we still respect them? Do we still love them? Because it's God's kindness that leads people to repentance. And so it's our job, church, not the pastor's job, not the worship team, not the ushers, everyone. It's our job to show people God's love. You know, this week two weeks ago, I was having a conversation. Somebody found out I was a pastor here. And they go, oh yeah, the WA sticker church. I see the stickers all around town. I love it. I love it. And we have more of those stickers ordered. And it's a way just to start up conversations with neighbors. It's, oh, I see that. Tell me about what's WA? What's why? You know? It's always like, what's that why church? And well, let me tell you about that. Let me share with you what's going on. And that's what happened here, as Paul and Peter, they're all talking about, we're sharing this message and people are coming to know Jesus. Let us tell you about that. Let me tell you about this Jesus that I know that has transformed my life. A few weeks ago, we mentioned, wouldn't it be weird if you knew somebody for months, and you just found out, or even years, and then you found out that they were married, had a kid, and all these things, and you never knew anything about it? Wouldn't that be weird? Look for ways to share what you're a part of a local church. And how we do that is by sharing and loving the community. We're coming up in January, 125 years. You know, Wilshire Avenue was the first church in Fullerton. Built on the corner right there, Wilshire and Pomona, that we've been here for years. But how would we be known in our community? If we were to shut down the doors tomorrow, would we be known? Would the city cry out, oh, where did those wah people go? They were the ones that tutored the kids. They were the ones that fed the hungry. They were the ones that loved our city so well. Where did they go? Or are they just saying, ah, glad another church is gone? Now, there's a part of our message that will oppose and people will not vibe with, because Jesus does draw the line, but it shouldn't be because the way we treat the city. It should be the way we love others, the way we care for them. They should cry out. They should want the church. They should need us. So this morning, if we are representatives of Christ, and we are representatives of his local body, which God uses as an agent of change, he uses to make an impact, he uses to love the city, how can you be a part of it? So I encourage you, as we're about to close, because we the church, our job is opening avenues for those who are turning to Christ. Opening avenues, making open. Jesus' arms are open. He is inviting all to come to him. Would you help us in this invitation? Jesus says, there's no other way but come to me, all who who are weary and burdened, all who have been trying to do this. Let me end with this in Acts 15. Right there, go to verse 9. It says this, speaking of God, he did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts, speaking of the Gentiles. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke, a burden, that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. It is by God's grace that we all are saved. And so may we as a church remove any barrier for people hearing this message. You don't have to act. There's not a performance. It's not the way you dress. It's not the way you come in. It's the grace of Jesus Christ that transforms lives. Come on. That's what God calls us, and we will not shy away from that here. And let me tell you this, it's not just from the pulpit. It's how we love, how we represent it, and how we take care of the guests in our community. Friends, brothers, sisters, would you be a part of this together? Now more than ever, our nation needs love. There are people that are saying, no, this group doesn't deserve love. We're better than them. And the gospel annihilates all of that. The gospel says, Jesus says, anyone that comes to me, I will never turn them away. How can we turn others away? May we just usher people and say, come meet this Jesus. Man, would you meet the lover of my soul? Oh, would you come and meet him? Man, I want others to know more about Jesus. Would we do it together? Would we invite others to meet our wonderful Savior? Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you. It is not something that we don't simply just follow a religion. That you have created a beautiful establishment. In fact, you have created your church. You have died on the cross for your church. Father, you have died individually for us. May we not grow numb to that fact. That we, in fact, the church are imperfect and we are sinners. And so may we be reminded of that. May we be reminded of the grace that was shown to us and is shown to us each and every day. May we extend that grace to others. Father, may we invite others into your kingdom. There are those that are turning to you. Oh, what a beautiful turn that is to see your face maybe for the first time. Give us strength, give us energy, give us wisdom in the way that we could open up avenues for others to come see you, Jesus. May we laugh together, may we cry together, may we serve one another, all so that we would be known as your disciples, as your followers, so your name would be known and that they would know you. God, may you be known in this church and in this city and in our communities and in our nation. May your love cover all these things. God, we look to you. May you turn our hearts to you each and every day. May you cause us to serve together as one body, as one church. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.